KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 40 degrees. We look for skies to be mostly sunny today, a high of 57. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Denner Motor Company and the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce have announced nominations are currently being accepted for the 16th Annual Athena Award in Atlantic. The award will be presented on Saturday, January 14th at the Cass County Community Center. It is given to an exceptional individual who has achieved excellence in his or her business profession, has served the community in a meaningful way, and has assisted women in their attainment of professional goals and leadership skills. The Athena Award was first presented in 1982 in Lansing, Michigan, and has grown to include presentations to more than 6,000 individuals in hundreds of cities across the globe. Locally, past winners include Kathy Hockenberry in 2016, Lynette Planbeck, Pat Markham, Dolly Bergman, Wendy Richter, Ann Prost, Janelle Hansen, Jan Kinnison, Carol Schuler, Glenda Ferrier, Margaret Slepsky, Denise O'Brien, Leanne Pellett, Judy Martin, and LaVon Eblin. Denner Motor Company believes in the values underlying Athena's philosophy of incorporating talent and expertise of women into the leadership of their businesses, communities, and government. The spirit of the Athena Award program is captured in a quotation from Plato: "What is honored in a country will be cultivated there. And by honoring exceptional leaders, others will be encouraged to excel." If you'd like to nominate a person for the Athena Award, you can pick up a nomination packet at the Atlantic Area Chamber of Commerce or go to www.atlanticiowa.com. Nominations are due in by December 2nd at noon at the Chamber office. The Atlantic School Board and Administration is in what District Business Manager Mary Beth Fast called the infant stages of exploring the placement of a $23 million bond issue before the voters next year to help pay for improvements to the school district's buildings and athletic facilities. Fast told KJAN News that she presented information before the board during their meeting Wednesday night with regard to revenue and expenditure projections forecast out for 1 year and a period of 5 years. She said that's enabled the district to address cash flow needs and the unspent authorized budget that puts them in a good position to propose a bond.
And so in looking at a possible general obligation bond, I took a figure of $23 million and looked at an amortization of 20 years on that and saw how that would affect our tax rate. And what we found is that if the board and the community bonded for $23 million, they would have the ability to do that and keep the tax rate overall flat. That is, the school's tax rate in total would not fluctuate much at all, you know, just within a small amount.
She said there are three reasons having a $23 million bond wouldn't affect the tax rate.
First of all, the prior board and our administration addressed the cash need that we needed for our general fund, and through the cash reserve levy has built those reserves up to a good balance. The second thing that they did was that over the last 3 and 4 years, they have implemented an early retirement policy, which has been a huge savings to the district. That was funded through the management fund. That levy will also fall off because those early retirement payments will be concluded at that time. And the third and final thing, which is also very important, is that the community passed the income surtax for the voted PEPL, and that allows us to give relief to the property tax piece of it.
The board would need to discuss the bond in the next few months, hold public hearings, and then have a special ballot issue next year so that the bond, if approved, would be in place for the 2017-18 school year. Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said Jerry Purdy with Design Alliance Architect Firm appeared before the board Wednesday night to recap their options with regard to the dire need for instruction space. Those options, as we previously mentioned here, include do nothing, look at the individual building needs and address them separately, or construct a new middle school with a price tag of about $19 million. The board has also been discussing the district's athletic facilities.
At our next board meeting, they've directed me to bring to them contractual agreements for Design Alliance for the instructional piece and FRK, the architectural firm, for the athletics facility study.
Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Supreme Court has upheld a lower court ruling that said Governor Terry Branstad acted within his constitutional authority when he vetoed funding for two state-run mental health care facilities last year and closed them. 20 legislators and Danny Homan, the president of the largest state employee union, sued Branstad, claiming a state law requires Iowa to have four mental health care institutes and limits Branstad's ability to close the facilities by vetoing the money to run them approved by lawmakers. The court concluded Thursday that the legislation doesn't mandate the continued existence of state mental health institutes, and Branstad's veto fell within the governor's constitutional line item veto power. The court agrees with a November 2005 ruling by District Court Judge Douglas Staskel and dismissed the lawsuit. A Northwest Iowa woman has been given probation and suspended jail time for biting and tearing her husband's lower lip when she feigned desire for a kiss. The Sioux City Journal says 60-year-old Carol Smith pleaded not guilty Tuesday to domestic abuse assault. A charge of willful injury was dismissed. The documents say the incident occurred in the couple's Sioux City home on May 24th of last year. Smith approached her husband for a kiss but then bit him instead. Police say her husband required plastic surgery afterward. The judge gave Smith 2 years of probation, suspended all but 60 days of a 365-day jail sentence, and ruled that Smith may serve 120 days on an electronic monitoring device in lieu of serving the jail time. He also fined her $315. Well, sheriff's officials in Union County said yesterday an Adair County woman was arrested Wednesday afternoon on a Union County warrant for failure to appear on an original possession of controlled substance charge. 19-year-old Megan Wilker of Orient was being held for Union County in the Ringgold County Jail on $2,500 bond. The Enhanced Iowa Board has awarded $878,616 in Community Attraction and Tourism, or CAT, grants to a Fine Arts Center in Forest City, a pedestrian bridge in Nora Springs, and a theater renovation project in Audubon. The three awards mark the first awards made by the new Enhanced Iowa Board, which replaces Vision Iowa, that was created in the last legislative session. The Enhanced Iowa Board approved the grants at Wednesday's meeting in Des Moines. Locally, the Rose Theater renovation project in Audubon received a requested CAT grant amount of $61,250 for renovations to the interior and exterior of a historic theater in Audubon. Once completed, the theater will offer family-friendly movies on the weekends. The project is expected to cost $323,761 altogether. The grant is contingent upon completion of fundraising by December 31st of this year. And Janelle Deist, the chair of the Audubon County Community Foundation, has announced that $39,000 in grants was awarded to Audubon County nonprofit agencies. And with the grants, the Audubon County Community Foundation has distributed over $1.5 million in grants and scholarships over the last 19 years. These nonprofit organizations, which had submitted applications to the Audubon County Community Foundation by the September 1st deadline, were awarded grants by the Audubon County Board of Directors. Audubon Community Cinema received $15,000 for a screen projection and sound equipment, seats, and wall covering at the Rose Movie Theater. The Audubon Recreation Foundation received $10,000 for funding to build a rec center. The City of Exira received $2,000 for a sign at the east entrance to the community. The Exira Community Club received $10,000 to complete renovation of the rec center. And the Exira Fire and EMS Association received $2,000 to purchase and install automatic standby generator at the fire hall for emergencies. All the grantees met the criteria as Audubon County nonprofit agencies or organizations whose charitable missions are in the areas of civic, cultural, health, education, and social services. Only organizations providing services in Audubon County were eligible, and those representatives received their checks on November 9th. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.